By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. We didn't sound test this before I started. Thank you, Matthew. One of my classroom techniques is whenever the children are about to face something that's mentally quite challenging, is to get them on their feet, exercising left side of the body, right side of the body, doing lots of this, because it gets both sides of the brain working, gets them full of oxygen, respiring effectively, and then they sit down and they can do something mentally challenging. That's why we sang the Father Abraham song, also because it's relevant to today's passage. Please do keep page 1144 open in front of you, because we will be using Hebrews chapter 11 to look at faith. What is the writer of the Hebrews talking about when he talks about faith? First, we'll look at the writer's definition of faith. Then we'll move on to look at this particular example from Abraham's life. And then thirdly and finally, we will wonder how this helps us in our lives to live by faith. Let us pray before I begin. Father, thank you that this letter has been preserved over the years for us to have it open now and to read it. Thank you that you inspired every word that's written here. Help us to understand what you are saying in this passage, and help us to apply it to our lives, to go away from here changed for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. So the author's definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me use another classroom technique, which is the one I call the non-example. That is, to give you an example of what I'm not going to talk about. I have great faith in Mick McCarthy. If you don't know who he is, he's the manager of Wolverhampton Wanderers. I hope they're going to win the championship this season. They beat Nottingham Forest 5-1 yesterday. Not bad. And they are currently top of the table. So although it's only four games down, everyone has to pass us to stop us winning the championship. I hope that Wales win the Six Nations rugby this year. And to balance things out, I hope that England regain the Ashes on home soil next summer. I hope that one day Felix opens the batting for England. He's won on Tuesday. A few years to go, but you never know. We can hope for these things. But can I be certain of any of these things? No, of course I can't. They are mere optimism. This is not the sort of faith and hope that Hebrews 11 is about. If you just flick back to the very beginning of chapter 11 on the previous page, verse 1 of chapter 11 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Hope is being sure and certain. Do you see the difference there? When hope is undergirded by faith, it moves from being mere optimism to becoming assurance. Now, I did spend a while trying to think of some examples of what this sort of faith would look like. And then the Spirit prompted me, reminded me, that that's exactly what the writer of this letter has done for us. So I don't need to give you examples, because they're here for us in Hebrews chapter 11. And the one that we're looking at today is a little episode in Abraham's life. So let's move on now to verses 17 to 19, which Luke read for us a moment ago. Verse 17 starts, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice." That seems very matter of fact for a really quite remarkable thing for God to ask Abraham to do. If we look back in Genesis, we're just going to put some verses up for you to read at the front so you don't need to flick through the Bibles. This is Genesis chapter 22. where we read this episode in Abraham's life. And here's God speaking to Abraham. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Now, this is the language of intimacy. God speaking to Abraham, but using the very same words that he uses of his own son, Jesus. At his baptism, at the transfiguration, God says, "This is my son whom I love." This is the intimacy between Abraham and Isaac. This is the relationship. What does God tell him to do? Sacrifice him. Now, yes, this is remarkable, but in these circumstances, it is particularly remarkable. And the writer to the Hebrews wants us to appreciate why that is the case. So let's read on in verse 17 of the Hebrews passage. He, that is Abraham, who had embraced the promises, was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Now, Abraham received many promises. The one that's relevant here is when God promised that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. It's worth noting Abraham did have other children other than Isaac, but Isaac is the only one that he had with his wife Sarah, and Isaac is the one whom God specifically promised. Now again, Genesis chapter 17, we find God making this promise, very specific promise. Your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. This promise is made 25 years after God has first promised Abraham he will father a great nation. Abraham is 100 years old. His wife Sarah is 90 years old. The Bible tells us, doesn't really need to, but it tells us, she is past childbearing years. She's 90. She's barren. And yet, God is faithful to his promise. And about a year later, Isaac is born. Now, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews doesn't leave us to wonder about Abraham's other children. He uses the language that God uses. Isaac, your one and only son. That's in verse 17. In verse 18, we're reminded that God told Abraham that it was through Isaac his offspring would be reckoned. Isaac is the child of the promise. This is why he's the one and only son, the one and only child. The child who is promised specifically. The child through whom God will work out his promises for the future. It is Isaac's family tree that will lead to the fulfillment of God's promises. So go and sacrifice him. Now, in spite of these circumstances, there is no record in Genesis of Abraham having a sleepless night. There is no record of him worrying about this command. There's no record of him challenging God on this issue or questioning. There's no record of Abraham saying, "Why? But how are you going to keep your promise if..." There's no record of that. This is Abraham's faith. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 3, we read this. Now, excuse me if I appear flippant, but it's almost as though they're packing up for the St. Dionys Dads and Lads weekend. Early next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. They're just heading off to sacrifice the son, the child of the promise. God has promised countless descendants through Isaac. Abraham is sure of this. Abraham is certain of this. That is the faith that the writer to the Hebrews is writing about. That's why he doesn't question it. That's why he doesn't worry. He sets off in faith. Abraham's faith looks beyond death. In verse 19 of the Hebrews passage, we're told, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. Abraham's not setting off with his fingers crossed. Hope things work out. He's not touching wood. He hasn't got a feeling or an inkling that it's going to be okay. Abraham has reasoned. And the Greek word that's translated reasoned is the root of our word logic. Now, Abraham isn't used to seeing people jumping out of tombs. That would be as extraordinary back then as it would be now. There's no such record in Genesis of Abraham witnessing someone leaping back from the dead and doing a dance. No. This verse 19, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, is a reference to Isaac's birth. The dead who have been raised, in Abraham's experience, are himself and his wife Sarah. Just cast your eyes up to verse 12 of chapter 11. And so from this one man, that's Abraham, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Also, in Paul's letter to the Romans, he writes of Abraham, his body was as good as dead, and Sarah's womb was also dead. So this is Abraham's logic. God has promised him countless descendants through a son born to himself and Sarah, his wife. But Abraham's body is dead. Sarah's womb is dead. And yet, that death did not prevent God from working out his promise. Isaac was born. So here we are now. God has promised countless descendants through Isaac. Sacrifice Isaac. But death does not prevent God from working out his promise. Abraham's faith looks beyond death because he knows it does not prevent God working out his promises. Now, the end of verse 19 tells us, and so in a manner of speaking, Abraham did receive Isaac back from death. And that's because in the story of Abraham and Isaac in chapter 22, we find in Genesis, that is, we find that God stops Abraham just as he's about to sacrifice Isaac. God stops him and provides a ram to be sacrificed in his place. There's a sermon series just in that, but we're not focusing on that today. We're looking at Abraham's faith. So Abraham's faith looked beyond death because he had certain hope in God's promises. So finally, how does this help us live our lives, to live by faith, to live day to day? First, allow me to have an application here, which, if you like, summarizes the whole summer series that we've had, where we've looked at a number of these heroes of faith, as they are described in Hebrews chapter 11. What I want us to do is look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, because this is where the writer himself concludes, or if you like, applies this passage. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, same as Ang Harad 2 weeks ago, I couldn't help but conjure up an Olympic image when I read this verse. We were recently switching on our televisions every day to see the fantastic Bird's Nest Stadium in Beijing. 91,000 spectators watching athletes running endurance races. Just use that image for a moment. The crowd is now this cloud of witnesses. Abraham, Abel, Moses, Gideon, Samson, these are the ones we've heard about, and all the others listed in Hebrews chapter 11. They are the crowd that is cheering us on. Their lives cheer us on as we go through life. Life is an endurance race. Note, we are to run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for us. So maybe a good example would be the steeplechase. It's a long-distance race, hurdles to get over, jumps in the way, a water hazard to get through. Maybe life's a bit like that. But this great crowd of Old Testament heroes, their lives are helping us through that race. And also, unlike the Olympics, we're not competing with each other. We're helping each other. We are here to help each other over those hurdles or to remove those hurdles. We are here to help each other through those water hazards to get to the finish of this race. endurance race. So what of these things that entangle, the sin that hinders us? We're to throw it off. We're to remove it. Some examples. Maybe you find yourself drawn to unhealthy websites on the internet. Well, put a block on. Even if you're not a child, get some child protection software. Put it on your computer so you can't be drawn into that. Maybe you find yourself tempted to watch what might be described as unhelpful television programs, maybe late at night. Recognize it and get rid of the television, because then you can't be drawn into doing that. Maybe at work or in your neighborhood, you find yourself drawn into gossip. Well, start avoiding those groups of people with whom you are tempted to gossip. Cut that out. Remove that sin that so easily entangles. Now, a specific application from Abraham's example of faith with Isaac. If we read on in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the basis of our faith that looks beyond death. Abraham offered Isaac, the son whom he loved, to be sacrificed. And in a manner of speaking, he received him back from death. God offered Jesus, the son whom he loved, to be sacrificed. And he did receive him back from death, and he ascended to glory on high. It is because of this that we can be sure of, we can be certain of, God's promise of eternal life with him. Remember, death does not prevent God working out his promise, not for Abraham, not for Jesus, and not for us. So do not fear death. Live by faith. Be sure of your hope of eternal life because of Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Amen.